Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Pod on this Monday morning, the 10th of August 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next half an hour or so. Fantastic to have your company and plenty to get through in the world of sport as well. Let's start with the footy yesterday. Dom Sheed had a purple patch in the final term. He was good throughout the afternoon. These two goals were the end of the Blues yesterday as the Eagles ran out 22-point winners at Optus Stadium.
And he spells trouble, Sheed. We know how good that left foot is. Have a look at that ball. Dom Sheed, take a bow.
Well, that game was better than the evening edition with Melbourne 57-point winners over North Melbourne. The final score, 13-14-92, the Ds to 5-5-35, the Roos.
Tight legs out there now, but Melbourne supporters won't mind at all. They finished the stronger team. The Ds came up a couple of wins together, this by 57 points.
And all eyes this morning throughout the show, I'm sure the boys will be focused on plenty of footy, but also the US PGA Championship. It is the final round. Dustin Johnson, he was outstanding on Saturday, making his move.
Dustin Johnson is number one in strokes gained putting this week. And there you go, Dustin Johnson, another birdie, moves to 9 under par.
And he leads at 9 under par. We'll be following Jason Day through the morning. He tees off in about half an hour's time. He starts the day at -6. Good luck to Jason Day. Plenty of sport to get through next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club returns today, of course, with Half Whitey and Arama after 6 o'clock. Jimmy Bartel will join the guys after 7. Before 7, the boys will try and get you a winner on the early mail. And then Lachie Neal, perhaps the Brownlow medalist, to join the guys after 8 o'clock today. Very short at tab.com.au. But the Lions did very well with another victory over the weekend. It'll be great to chat to a man who's just about been the recruit of the last 2 or 3 years. Outstanding player. Lachie Neal. After 8:30, don't forget, Michael Felgate with Racing Pulse. Looking forward to hearing the boys on the verdict and what they thought of the weekend's racing. And then after 10:30, Gareth Hall is back after a spell for a week. He's well rested and ready to go with RSN Central. Looking forward to that after 10:30 this morning. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy from yesterday. And we'll start with the early game as West Coast won by 22 points over the Blues, 11-6-72 to Carlton, 7-8-50. Here's Adam Simpson on the win.
We knew Carlton were going to come out and play like they did. They're very good at the contest. Their pressure was elite, and we struggled to stay in the game. So probably lucky we didn't concede in a particular start of the third. We didn't handle their heat. But our backs did stand up for, I think they kicked the first goal in the first 20 or 30 seconds, and then we probably spent 8 minutes defending, and then it clicked a little bit, won a few contests in front of the ball, and you know, we went into a pretty good space for probably half an hour, and then put the game out of reach. So yeah, we're a good side, but we are no different than anyone else in terms of bringing intensity and playing four quarters. We're still searching for that.
To David Teague now. Plenty of controversy around the holding the ball decisions yesterday. Perhaps the noise of affirmation is back. Here's what the Carlton coach had to say about that confusing rule at the moment.
Our players are seeking a fair bit of clarity around it at the moment. It's a hard one. I think any time you change an interpretation throughout the season, it's quite hard, as much for the umpires to adjudicate, and whether the umpires felt that was right or wrong, that call, or I don't know, because they're going to make mistakes as well. So it's hard for us as coaches and players to understand which one was an error and which one wasn't. So to get a pattern going forward. But I think it'll work out. We'll adjust. Right now, you've got to try and move the ball on pretty quick and when you can. But at the end of the day, if you've got no other option, you've got no other option. If it's a holding the ball, it gives us a chance to get our defence set up behind it. And that's going to keep happening.
I'm sure that'll be a talking point on the Breakfast Club, as it was this time last week and this time 2 weeks ago on this Monday morning. The Blues losing by 22 points yesterday. Season just about done and dusted for them. Meanwhile, the Eagles sail into the top four, currently in fourth spot on the ladder. They move to 7-3. To the other game last night, at the Adelaide Oval, Melbourne and North Melbourne, an easy win for the D's, although it was hard to watch. At least they ran away with it in the second half, especially. 13-14-92, Melbourne, and North Melbourne 5-5-35. So the D's move into ninth position. Bear in mind, too, they've got a game in hand. So just tracking along quite nicely at the moment. Melbourne drifted to $1.75 before the bounce as well. I thought that was pretty juicy odds at tab.com.au. So nice, comfortable win for the D's. Let's hear from Simon Goodwin after the win.
Yeah, I certainly like the way we're playing early. We just, you know, as you said, missing some shots at goal and costing ourselves some good opportunity. And obviously, you know, we gave away way too many free kicks in that first quarter. So, but there's a bit of maturity building in our group, the way they go about their footy. And, you know, without the captain and the vice captain today, you know, I thought our young emerging leaders really stood up and, you know, it was a real character victory in the end. You know, we think we got our season back into a really good shape. But now it's about us really becoming even more mature and building our game further and improving as the year goes on. You know, we wanted to be a club that improved as the year went on, and you know, hopefully we're putting ourselves in a position where we can start challenging some of the really good sides that are sitting up the top of the ladder.
So the challenges await for the D's later on in the season. To Reece Shaw now, he's got plenty of immediate challenges at North Melbourne. Only two goal kickers yesterday in the loss by 57 points to the D's. Here he was after the disappointing performance.
Our display tonight for the majority of the game wasn't acceptable. It's not up to standard befitting of our football club. And I think the first quarter, we had the game on our terms. We played a good brand of footy. The pressure was up. We were able to pick apart Melbourne, and then we decided to go a different path, and Melbourne took full advantage of that. And it's just not up to standard. It's not acceptable, and it's really disappointing.
Reece Shaw after the very disappointing loss last night at the hands of North Melbourne, at the hands of Melbourne rather, North Melbourne, sitting 16th on the table at the moment with a percentage of just 82. More footy to come later on. Of course, there is another couple of games to come tonight as the footy frenzy continues. Is it too much? Not sure. Maybe have your say with the boys on the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock this morning. Let's head to the PGA Tour, and lots of golf happening around the world. All eyes this morning will be focused on TPC Harding Park as it is the final round of the PGA Championship. Dustin Johnson will tee off at 6:50 this morning. He leads the way at 9 under the card. Scott Scheffler in second position at 8 under, and Cameron Champ in third position, second position as well at 8 under the card. The best of the Australians is Jason Day. He'll tee off in just under half an hour's time. He's at 6 under the card. A couple of the early movers on day 4. Adam Scott is 2 under through his opening 5 holes to move inside the top 20. He's 4 under for the tournament overall. And Ben Arnt is 6 under the card. A lovely round to finish for the South Korean. He finishes at 4 under for the tournament. So well done to Ben Arnt. He's safely inside the top 20 at the moment. To the European Tour from overnight as well. Of course, they normally would break for this tournament, but with the condensed season, still playing the English Championship at Hanbury Manor Country Club. Andy Sullivan, a dominating victory, 27 under the card. Atwegi was the best of the rest at 20 under. Good result for Minwoo Lee. He finished at 16 under the card after being the co-leader after round one. So the young Australian doing nice things still on the European Tour. Let's hear from Andy Sullivan, who was quite emotional after the win.
Really emotional right now. You know, I lost my brother-in-law 2 years ago and lost a good friend in Tom Ford this year. So this one's for them. And it's just nice to be back in the winner's circle. And my team have worked so hard, and I've worked hard. And, you know, Rids put the time in, Goffey, Crumble, Kansky, all put some real big time in me, and I'm just glad to repay them all with a win like this, really.
The other golf we'll keep an eye on this morning is Gabby Ruffles, who is in the US Women's Amateur Final. She won this tournament last year as a 19-year-old. She's now 20 years of age, and she's made the final. It's a 36-hole match play format on the final day. It's all square with just three holes to play. So good luck to Gabby Ruffles there over in the States, doing fine things. Tell you what, this next generation of Australian golfers is blooming already, so good luck to Gabby Ruffles in those final three holes. Let's head to the NRL now. A couple of games yesterday, one in particular in the absolute pouring rain. It was hard to watch. It was coming down that heavily at some stages, but the Parramatta Eels were able to hold on for 14 points to 12 victory. Let's have a listen to their coach, Brad Arthur, who was just happy to get away with the win in the wet.
We've got no experience playing in those sort of conditions. And, you know, like, it was tough, it was gritty, it was dumb, but, it's, you know, we only needed to come here and get the 2 points, and whoever it happened didn't really matter. But, yeah, look, we've got plenty to work on.
There was a Queensland derby last night with the Gold Coast Titans and North Queensland going head-to-head at Cbus Super Stadium, and it was the Titans, 30 points to 10, running all over the Cowboys. AJ Brimson with two tries.
Now Peeps to Taylor.
Let's hear from Justin Holbrook, the coach, after a fine win that puts them above their Queensland rivals in North Queensland and Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, obviously great, especially with the win we come away with. You know, I think we've been playing really well the last couple of weeks and just falling short. And today to back it up again was just great to watch. And I'm really happy for the players. You know, we've tried really hard the last couple of weeks and haven't got the win, so to you know, play as well as we did, in particular the first half, was great, and I'm really happy.
They've often been the run to the litter up there, the Gold Coast Titans, but amazingly they sit in 13th position on the ladder, North Queensland in 14th and Brisbane in 15th. Tell you what, lucky they got footy in Queensland, because their NRL teams are no good this year. Meanwhile, the Melbourne Storm, we're still celebrating their win over the weekend. It was a tri-fest as they ran out 41 points to 10 winners at Sunshine Coast Stadium over Canterbury on Saturday. They sit in second spot on the NRL table, 11 wins from their opening 13 fixtures. So it looks like they're going to hopefully go deep again into the finals this season. Let's head to the F1s from overnight, and Max Verstappen able to celebrate a rare victory in the UK for Red Bull.
But for Max Verstappen, it's not just about the podium, it's about the top step of the podium, and making his way now around the last couple of corners for his ninth victory in Formula One to win the 70th anniversary Grand Prix. Verstappen gives Red Bull the win, their first here at Silverstone since 2012, the day Mark Webber said not bad for a number two driver. There was nothing second best about Verstappen today either.
So there we go, Max Verstappen closing things out for Red Bull overnight. Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas, the two Mercedes drivers in second and third respectively. Not a good day for Daniel Ricciardo. He was lapped as he finished 14th in the race at Silverstone, the second in a row with the condensed season. Lots of Formula One Grand Prix held back-to-back at the same track. They now move to Spain, and they'll race there on Sunday next week. So we'll update you on that result as it comes through in a week's time. Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll cross the ditch, find out what happened in Super Rugby Aotearoa over there. A-League, after the Melbourne victory, were finally able to break their duck and hammer four past Perth Glory on Saturday. We'll hear from Marco Rojas at Recovery yesterday. The NBA results as well, plus all the Super Netball from yesterday. Still two footy games to come as well. We'll bring you the team changes next on The Breakfast Bite.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Housby again. Rocks Ralph. Good, the rebound.
How did Sophie Garland get a hand on that?
Olivia Lewis can't believe it.
Two results in the Super Netball yesterday. The New South Wales Swifts 73-72 winners over the West Coast Fever. Unfortunately for Collingwood, they went down by 4 points to the Sunshine Coast Lightning of 51-47. Those are the final scores from yesterday's games, and round three will kick off later on this week. Let's head now to the rugby from yesterday. The Crusaders, well, I'll tell you what, they win Super Rugby when everyone's involved, and they win Super Rugby when just New Zealand teams are involved.
And here's a bit of a gap in. Oh, what an offload from Luke Romano. They're going in again. Jordan Bridge scores twice in 2 minutes, and now they're in front.
Isn't it nice to hear a crowd? Geez, those days seem a long way away. Sitting here in Victoria yesterday, the Crusaders confirming their status as the best team in New Zealand. Let's head to a bit of what happened in the NBA yesterday with the Spurs beating the Jazz, the Grizzlies over the Thunder, the Nets over the Kings, 76ers beat the Magic, Pelicans over the Wizards, Celtics over the Raptors, and the Clippers beat the Trailblazers, Pacers over the Lakers, Mavs beat the Bucks, Suns over the Heat, and the Nuggets beat the Jazz in overtime.
Clock by Murray, short shot clock, he'll put up a faded. Good! What a shot by Murray!
One result today as OKC beat the Wizards 121-103. A couple of games going on at the moment. The Raptors lead the Grizzlies 83-68. There's a minute 57 left there in the third quarter. Meanwhile, the Spurs 43 lead the Pelicans 26. 7 minutes and 57 seconds left there in the second quarter. Rammer will be all over that this morning on the Breakfast Club. He'll update you over the next 45 minutes or so. To the A-League now, nice to see Melbourne Victory finally get a win on the board after the resumption, breaking their club record losing streak. Here's Marco Rojas reflecting on the win at Recovery yesterday.
Yeah, it was very good. We definitely needed that. It's been a tough few weeks, but we've been working hard behind the scenes, and it's great to get the rewards for that work. I wouldn't say it's so much a change of mindset. We've been working pretty hard towards one goal, and that is to create an identity for our team again. So we haven't really changed much of that, but it was nice to see it come into play, and nice to see us start the game really well and just build from there. So it was very, very pleasing, I think, for all of us, because, like I said, we've worked quite hard behind the scenes to get to that point, and it's nice to put it all together on the pitch.
Let's head back to the footy world to finish off the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning. Of course, still two games to come later on tonight. St Kilda face the Cats, and then Fremantle playing Hawthorn at 8:40 p.m. in the second of the two matches. Just before we get to the team changes, a couple of MRO decisions were handed down yesterday. Jack Revolt was charged twice, first with striking Tom Jonas during the first quarter, as he threw almost a blind punch and got Tom Jonas right where men don't want to be hit. He can accept $1,500 for that with an early guilty plea. He was also charged with engaging in rough conduct against Tom Rockliffe during the first quarter. He can accept $1,500 for that as well. Dustin Martin was charged with striking. He can accept $1,750 with an early plea there, but he is still eligible for the Brownlow. Marlon Pickett, charged with forceful front-on contact to get Sam Powell-Pepper. $1,500 for him. He's very lucky that Sam Powell-Pepper got up from that one, because that could have been very nasty. Daniel Rich from the Brisbane Lions, he was charged with a rough conduct. One match sanction for him with an early guilty plea. Matt Eagles from the Brisbane Lions was charged with kicking Marcus Bontempelli, $1,000 for him with an early guilty plea. So a couple of the team changes for tonight's game. First of all, St Kilda playing Geelong up at the Gabba. Jack Beitel, a debutant. Nice to see him make his debut. He'll come in with Jaron Geary. For Ed Phillips, who's been omitted, and Zach Jones has been rested. Meanwhile, for the Cats, another three changes. Brandon Parfitt, Gary Rowan and Jake Colajasny come into the lineup. Zach Guthrie has been managed. Sam Simpson has been managed. And Lockie Fogarty has been managed. Let's hear from Chris Scott about that selection ahead of tonight's game.
Well, the four that were managed on the basis that they would be better for this week. So they're all likely to play. None of them, including Constable, were out based on form. And I suspect that will be the case for us through this little period. So it's nice to know we've got four coming back. That should be a little fresher. But we still have another group of players that will be pressing for selection as well. So the outs are a lot harder than the ins this week.
Let's head to Chris Scott now on the Saints themselves, who are in some very nice form.
For one reason or another, I've seen a little bit of them play this year more than most teams, and they're deserving of their position on the ladder. There's no question of that. Made some changes in terms of their personnel going into this year. I know a few people, the Saints, who have got a high regard for the way they go about their business. So, you know, they're being coached and managed well. And no doubt the injection of Brad Hill and Zach Jones and others, Ryder's in good form as a ruckman, have brought in some speed, had some organic growth with their high draft picks, Billings and Caulfield, Clark. You know, there are a number of those guys who have been on the verge of being very good players for a long time. And it seems as if with good system, they've also got some talented young players who are all sort of clicking at the same time. So you'd be a fool if you weren't aware of St Kilda's strengths, their ability to score, and the speed with which both they move the ball and also their leg speed on the outside. So they've got obvious and significant threats for us.
Going to be interesting to see Jack Stephen tonight against his old side. Here's Jaron Geary's former skipper talking about the prospect of facing his old teammate.
You know, he's a champion of this footy club. He's a four-time Trevor Buckle medalist. Someone we really respect as a footballer and as a person. So we'll treat him like any other Geelong footballer tomorrow night. And, you know, we'll battle and crack in. And you know, hope it'll be a tough game tomorrow night. And then after the game, we'll give each other some knuckles and wish each other all the best and continue to have a friendship outside of the footy like we always do. But it'd be good to see him. Haven't seen him for a while because we haven't had the opportunity to.
Jaron Geary here on Facing the Cats tonight as well.
It's just good for our team to be in a position where we're playing games of footy that you know, mean a fair bit to us and to our fans. We've got a lot of people sitting back in Victoria that we really care about, and they're doing it tough, and we just want to put on a good spectacle for them. Personally, I'm not looking too far ahead at the moment. Things are changing. We only know, you know, the team, our opponents for the next 2 weeks, and you know, for me, it's just all about week in, week out. I know that's cliche, but to be honest, this year more than ever has been a time where you can't get too ahead of yourself. We don't know where we're going to be in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So looking forward to getting back out there. Clearly, I missed the game last week, so I'm just itching at the bit to get back out and try and play a role for the team and hopefully get the 4 points.
$2.50 the Saints at the moment, tab.com.au. Geelong $1.55. Head to tab.com.au if you want to invest. Either way, there, the boys will have more to say on that game after 6 o'clock this morning. Meanwhile, Fremantle play Hawthorn at 8:40 at Optus Stadium. James H. Stephen Hill in for the Dockers. Brendan Matier is injured. Tobe Watson has been omitted. Connor Nash, the only change for Hawthorn. He comes in for the injured Sean Burgoyne. Well, let's have a listen to Justin Longmuir here on Nat Fyfe's role tonight.
Well, it's always been the plan to try and split his time a little bit between the forward line and the midfield. And it's got probably not a lot to do with who we've got in the midfield. It's probably more just to do with his ability in both areas of the ground. I mean, it was a long time ago, but as a junior and early in his career, he's a great forward coming through. So we want to try and tap into that a little bit. It really helps our forward line when he's down there because he draws a good defender and makes the defender really accountable. And plus, he hits the scoreboard. So it's going to be a bit of an in-game balance with how much time we split mid and forward, but we're looking to, you know, develop his forward craft and split his time a little bit more.
There we go, Justin Longmuir speaking ahead of tonight's clash against Hawthorn. The two games just repeating, St Kilda v Geelong and Fremantle v Hawthorn. So more footy heading your way tonight. Just an update from the golf as well. There's only two holes to go now in the women's amateur over in the US. And Gabby Raffles still tied with her opponent, Jang. So good luck to Gabby Raffles in the closing two holes of the women's amateur. She won this tournament last year, and hopefully she can go on with it. We'll keep you updated with all the golf through the morning as well at the PGA Championship. Good luck to Jason Day over the next 4 or 5 hours. Hopefully he can put in a strong Sunday over there and really put his name up to the top of the leaderboard. He's currently in a tie for 7th. Dustin Johnson leading the way at 9 under the card. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning. Don't forget Lachie Neal coming up after 8 o'clock. The Brisbane Lions superstar Jimmy Bartel from 7. The early mail before that. And Half Whitey and Rammer to take it away after the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.